guys, welcome back to another episode of Table Talks. This is the audio-only version. This will be its own little mini-series. These are much easier to do, obviously, because we don't want to get five different cameras involved. Editing's faster, and it allows us to just sit and talk for a long time.
Yeah.
We have a lot of stuff planned for this, as well as our drunk debate show. Hopefully that'll have camera to it, but if not, it'll be audio-only, so... Hope you enjoy this. Hope the podcast works out. This will also be posted on iTunes and Podbean. If you want to hear this on the go in your car, shoot like that. Feel free to do that. Before we get started, though, first of all, as always, we still got a movie playing in the background. Okay? This one's a little still nostalgic for us. In fact, it's we're pushing an anniversary here. It's actually technically this film's anniversary, too. Not to this day. But it's technically its anniversary, too. But its predecessor, it gets more attention.
Yeah.
So they say. It's a horror movie, obviously, and nostalgic to us. I'm just going to let you guess blindly, though, and of course, we'll pin the comment whoever gets that movie right. So just guess blindly. It shouldn't be that hard. It makes it more fun, though, if you don't know what we're talking about. But today, we're going to be going ahead, we're going to be discussing some unanswered horror movie questions. Questions that have spawned from horror movies. Now, some of these, you probably already thought about yourself, and some of these are just, like, deep, to us, that just bother us. we're going to kick things off first with a little bit of Scream 3 here. The question here is, how did Roman work alone in Scream 3? Now, obviously, because I just said that, there are spoilers in this video. I don't know if that was obvious or not. Maybe I should have said that earlier. Hopefully, I didn't just ruin the whole movie for you. And that'll continue throughout all these questions. But this is one that we thought of ourselves rather than coming from some random list on Google. And it's because it really is just that annoying.
Yeah.
Like, how did Roman work alone? You know, one of the things that's always consistent in Scream, it's funny I say that like that, because there's only two movies before this. But still, there was always two killers.
Mm-hmm.
And out of all the films, including the fourth one, this is the one that was always the messiest and the wildest.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much going on. And it's just like, how the hell did this one guy manage to pull it off?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It... Just thinking back, I mean, a lot of you probably either skip Scream 3 or...
Which you shouldn't.
Or seen it once and disown it.
Which you shouldn't. Which we'll talk about that in a different video. We got a whole thing planned for that, but...
Yeah.
Scream 3 is really special to me, so I've seen Scream 3 probably... I mean, literally, this is the movie I've probably seen more than any other movie in the world. I've seen it that many times. And even when I look back at it myself, coming from someone that likes it... It's still a movie that I know doesn't really make sense. And I mean, one of the reasons most people are turned off by it is that, like, a lot of the times you don't even realize it's Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your first time watching it, and you're like, he unmasked himself. And you're like, who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah.
You know, one, he's not wearing glasses. For the first time in the whole movie, he's not wearing glasses. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of caught off guard by that. And it's like, you don't see him much because obviously he had to be doing something else the whole fucking time.
Right.
Yeah, just to make that possible. One, how did he get the technology? How did he manage to get something that could change your voice than anybody ever?
Yeah, that part really doesn't make any fucking sense.
It really doesn't. I mean, it makes the movie work better, obviously.
Right.
Because he has to work alone and he has to be able to manipulate people in such fashions.
Right.
And, you know, none of those people are his friends. He has no friends other than, like, Jen.
Mm-hmm.
He's got nobody to really work with.
Yeah.
So I kind of get, it doesn't really make sense at the end of the day how he managed to do it. It also doesn't really make sense that it was him that planted Billy. He told Billy to kill.
Right.
And then Scream 2 was just a fluke. And then the fact that he got hired to make Stab 3. I mean, there's a lot of coincidences that work out in Scream 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how did Roman work alone in Scream 3? He just did.
No.
Because Scream 3 did whatever the fuck it wanted to. It didn't follow any rules logistically at all. It really doesn't make sense, but you have to accept that if you want to enjoy it.
I mean, it's still an enjoyable movie at the end of the day.
Yeah, I love Scream 3.
A dewdrop.
Yeah, I love Scream 3. It really just doesn't make sense. If you aren't able to come out of that world of realism for a little bit, you can't buy in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tougher one. Because there's really no answer to it. He just did. He just did it.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next question. Who taught Michael how to drive in Halloween?
I don't think anybody did. I think he just figured it out.
He just figured it out. See, I always said that. It makes complete sense to me that he could get in a car and just go.
It's not that hard, people. It's not that hard.
The only thing that like turns me away from that at all is the fact that, you know, he was 6 years old. He hasn't seen people really drive. He wouldn't even really know what pedal does which, you know?
Right, and then he made it all the way back to Haddonfield.
Yeah. So, yeah. there. I mean, it wouldn't take long to figure out yourself. This pedal does that. But, I mean, he takes off and is ready to go the second he drives.
Yeah.
What I didn't, right before we started, off the air here, I told you I read something that I wasn't going to tell you until we started recording. It was about this question. Apparently, a deleted scene in Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers, which is Dr. Wynn, because Dr. Wynn is part of this whole cult thing, the whole curse thing. Apparently, there's a line in a deleted scene from The Curse of Michael Myers where Dr. Wynn says, "I even taught Michael how to drive." Yeah, and Dr. Wynn's also in the first Halloween. He's the one, which is weird because he's the one that says, he doesn't even know how to drive. He can't even drive a car, Sam. Like, so... Dr. Wynn says that in the first one, but apparently he said in Curse of Michael Myers that he taught Michael how to drive, and that's how Michael escaped in the first place.
I don't know if that was just a huge continuity error, or if that was in the original Halloween he was trying to play it off like, wasn't my fucking fault.
You know, I don't think Deborah Hill and John Carpenter had the plan to make Dr. Wynn evil.
Yeah.
I think Dr. Wynn was a throwaway character.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently it was Dr. Wynn the whole time. That piece of shit.
Wow.
Again, though, that's a deleted scene, so even it's one of those where you have to go to the script for the answer.
Right.
Which is like our next question. So, next question. Why was Creighton Duke so hell-bent on taking down Jason? Now, there's several theories behind this. There are comics that go into this deeper. To me, Creighton Duke, I never really thought into it. It was just kind of like, hey, he's kind of like the more sophisticated version of your, you know, your crazy Ralph. That's kind of always thought. Just it's a curse that's always been there. It's a burden that's always been at Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
And he just kind of ran into it. But based on my research, in the script, the original script for Jason Goes to Hell, it was explained that Creighton Duke's girlfriend was killed by Jason. And because of that, he became obsessed with them.
Okay.
How does he understand the curse? How does he know about the knife? How does he know about the... I don't know. Tommy Jarvis makes a lot more sense than Creighton Duke does. Yeah. But apparently that's the story behind that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense. I mean, he's your crazy Ralph. He's your Dr. Loomis type. I mean, he's...
That makes more sense to me than him being obsessed because of his girlfriend dying.
Right.
You know, it's like... Yeah, he was fucking nuts, man.
Yeah, and I'm gonna help.
Yeah, it's always been there. The whole town's always known about it, and he was just one that became obsessed with it.
Yeah. I think that's the way I always looked at it.
I think to become that obsessed with somebody, I mean not to put down relationships and girlfriends and whatnot, but I just feel like a parent being killed by him when you're super young, at an age where your brain can be like traumatized like that. I think that makes more sense to me. If that's how Creighton Duke became obsessed, but apparently it was his girlfriend.
I mean, so. look at Bruce Wayne. Like, he's really messed up.
Yeah, you know, that's a better example of fighting crime.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so apparently that's all it was. His girlfriend got killed, and he got into this studying of Jason.
All right. Sure.
Sure, yeah. Okay, next question. This is one, there's a bunch of theories on this one as well. And there may be a legitimate answer out there somewhere, but I didn't dig too deep into it because I thought our opinions were better. No, I'm just kidding. I just think we'd have more fun with it if we didn't have an answer to it. And that was, how did Malcolm not know he was dead in The Sixth Sense?
I can answer that right now.
Oh, yeah?
How the fuck did he not know when he went to open a door?
You know, that movie's actually really genius because because he was able to sit down and things and touch things, but he never moved anything.
Right.
He never, like, there's a scene where he sits down at dinner with his wife. And
he was late.
He was late, and so she doesn't talk to him. Well, it's so genius. It really is.
No, I love that. I love Sixth Sense, and the first time you watch it, even when you know the twist, like, you still have to, you know, really be looking and be like, yep, it's cuz, spoiler alert, he's dead the whole time.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
The beginning of Sixth Sense always used to fuck with me.
It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, with him and the patient in the bathroom tweaking and shit.
Wahlberg, man.
Uh huh.
Fucking, is that Donnie?
No.
That is?
No.
Who the fuck plays that? Which Wahlberg is that?
I don't know.
What other brothers are there? Who cares?
But yeah, that used to fuck me up. But yeah, like how? Like the? I mean, of course, in the way the movie is shot, it's shown to you, and you're not. And if you don't know, then you don't know. But like, how did he not know? I have no idea. Did he not try opening a door?
Well, can you still? Is it like Ghosts, where you can touch things if you learn, if you learn how to control? It really is weird.
I'd have to watch it again to see if he opened the door to his apartment when he was late for dinner. Like, yeah. Did he open the door and shut it? Because why wouldn't the wife go, what the fuck?
Yeah, because those things still should be legitimately moving. That was one of the things that was so interesting about that dinner scene, you know? Like, he moves nothing. He never moves the chair.
Mm-hmm.
He never touches his drink. His wife never interacts with him because he's not actually there.
Right.
And he thinks, that's so creative. I mean, if you go back and watch it, most details are attended to. I mean, M. Night mm-hmm. Shyamalan's pretty good about that shit. He does the same thing in Signs. Just little details. If you're paying attention, it's a cool thing to catch.
Right.
So, how do you not know? I don't... That's probably one of those that just never really makes sense.
Right.
Either he never touched shit, ever, that anybody could see, or he...
Didn't think about it. Yeah. Or he didn't think, oh, I'm going to walk through this door now. Like exactly. Like, did he really just get lucky and every time there was an open door and he could walk right through without, you know, touching the door handle?
How long was he dead again? Was it a year? Was he dead a year? This was a while, right? But at the same time, when do you become a ghost? You know, when is that cutoff line? All right.
Yeah, was it like the next day?
Yeah.
Right. Like, what happened in that transitional period between bleeding on the bed and when, you know, they pick up?
Yeah, because how much is he remember? Because he doesn't remember anything, because obviously he doesn't. He remembers that night, then he remembers now.
Right.
Like, he doesn't remember what happened after that, after he got shot.
Yeah, how long? It may be a year. It's been a while since I've seen Sixth Sense.
Yeah, same. God. I don't know. It really doesn't. You wouldn't think it makes sense, but hey, it's one of those where you just kind of buy in.
Right.
To buy in with the twist, you got to buy in with the story.
Right. And if you don't know the twist, then mind blown when you figure it out, and then you try to find shit like this through the whole movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those where you'll find new details every single time you watch it. Yeah, so
it really is.
Recommended. 10 out of 10. Now, this one probably nobody else cares about except for us. This is our last question we have. But we watch this movie so many times that we talk about this every single time. And I still know what you did last summer. How does it make any sense at all? Truly, it doesn't, which is one of the reasons everybody hates it. Some people just absolutely hate that movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, I love that movie too.
I know it's bad, but I still love that movie. But like, Will Benson, what? Like, so this means that Ben Willis took his son, who lost his sister. So, I mean, I guess he's got a little reason to be upset.
Right.
He's a little crazy, too. But he took his son, had to convince him to be a killer,
mm-hmm.
And then had to send him off to college, probably a fucking expensive college. Julie was a smart cookie, all right?
Yeah.
He had to go, I mean, she failed that one time, but whatever. Had to pay for tuition, go to college. He had to make sure that he befriended Julie so well that they'd be willing to invite him to the Bahamas.
Right. Because, okay, like, let's just pause right there. Like, what if he tried making friends and Julie's just like, oh, no, hey, yeah, I have a boyfriend.
Which already was kind of happening. I mean,
right,
they were
but
friends.
Like, but straight up, like, what if she just said, no, you creepy guy, I'm not going to be friends with you. Then mission failed.
We'll get him next time. We'll get him next
time. You can't get him next time. Like, that's a one shot. Like the coincidence of, you know, becoming friends with Julie and Brandy's character.
Yeah, why am I zoning out Brandy's character? Are you fucking kidding me? If you wouldn't have put me on the spot, I would have gotten it. I just, it's one of those things. But yeah, it really, and if it wasn't for Brandy's character, while you're looking it up right now, mm-hmm. If it wasn't for Brandy, Will would have never even gone on the trip.
Carla,
yeah. Yes. So, like, he would have never gone on the trip in the first place if it wasn't for Carla. because she invited him after Ray didn't show up.
Right.
I mean, that alone already was that stuff. Then let's say, because Ray made the choice when Julie called Ray. Ray made the choice not to tell her that he was coming. He told her he wasn't, or he would try. And then he decided he was going to surprise her and show up anyway and not tell her that he was going to make it. So if he would have said, hey, I'm going to make it, I'll be there at this time, all right? And he didn't show up, would she still left without him? Probably fucking not, right? So Ray had to not tell him. Then you had to have Ben stop Ray in the first place.
Know when he's leaving. Know that he was going to leave.
Yeah.
So obviously Ben probably was at the docks. Which, okay, that kind of makes sense. But then how would he, you know, set up his trap with, you know, having the fake body in the road with the car? Like, nobody drove on that road the entire time he was setting that up and either questioned him or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, there's some holes there. There's some holes there for sure. What would they have done if Ray said,
all right, I'm coming now.
Yeah, I'm on my way. Like, and then he didn't show up. She wouldn't go, right? She wouldn't go to the Bahamas then. She'd be worried. Also, why is it... I mean, Ray has some sort of family, right? He's in the fucking hospital. Nobody called anybody. Like, his parents weren't called. Then his parents weren't nice enough to contact his girlfriend.
Right.
Of 2 years. A year. It'd be a year. I mean, speaking of which, why is Ray such a fucking dick? It's their 1 year anniversary, right? Didn't they started dating on the 4th of July, right? Of last year?
No. Well, and I know what you did last summer. How long were they dating before the start of that?
Well, they were dating for a while, then they broke up.
Then they broke up. Right. Yeah, they broke up.
But then they got back together after they cut off Ben's hand, right? So it's like their 1 year anniversary.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, maybe ish.
Yeah, and it also doesn't even make sense that Ray's been such a dick in the first place. That alone, that's the worst part of the movie to me, is when Ray is like, you know, you want your space from whatever town that they're from, I'm forgetting.
Yeah.
Southport. You want your space from Southport? You probably want space from me, too. And he just fucking leaves. Right.
And then on the phone, he's just like, oh, you go out with your friends, but not with me. Go away with me.
Oh, yeah, so you go to the Bahamas, but you won't come back to the shitty town of Southport?
Like, hang on my boat,
yeah,
my fishing
boat. Like, what do you mean, Ray? That's like the one time I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And then he pulls out the fucking ring. And you're like, oh, okay.
So why were you a dick then?
Yeah, it's so funny.
You fucking asshole.
That whole part is just frustrating.
Right. Anyway, so.
So back to Will. back to Will. So Will had to make friends with them. He had to be real friends with them by the time they got to the Bahamas. I mean, we're talking a whole semester, a whole fucking year.
Yeah.
Because they went through the fall and winter semester of school, of college, a whole fucking year to get to the next summer and befriending Will. So did he really was faking it the whole time?
Right. Like then you get to the point where he's on the plane and he's scared of flying and Julie's, you know, comforting him. And then they go to the boat and Tyrell.
Yeah.
Is throwing up and he's like, oh yeah, you know, helping him through it.
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell me that wasn't friendship.
Yeah, then the surprise shit. Okay, well, there's a part where he goes into the hot tub and hangs out with Tyrell and Carla for no reason.
Right.
Like, why? And then, like, the part where he surprises her with the roses and shit. Like, you don't need to take those steps.
Right.
Those steps were unnecessary.
Right.
I think those steps were literally just to fool us. I get that.
Yeah.
But still, it's just like, would a killer really do that shit?
Right. And then, yeah, you're going through. I mean, he helped her out of the tanning bed.
Oh yeah.
He does.
He
helped her out of the tanning bed, hugged her, comforted her when she was traumatized. And you can't tell me. and then he goes and just flips a switch.
Yeah. It's not my blood, Julie. It's not my blood.
It's not my blood. Yeah, like he literally just flips a switch and he becomes Ben's son.
Which he does very well, by the way.
Yeah,
I mean, he goes like fucking like multiple personalities on us.
Yeah.
He did that well. Underrated role, all right? I think you should be proud of himself.
Yeah, but after all that, after a year of friendship and that whole weekend of bonding.
There should have been an element, I think, at the end when it's Ben and Will. I think there should have been a moment where he, like...
Dad, you're my friend.
Yeah, I think there should have been a moment where he kind of, like felt guilty. He's like, I actually don't want you to hurt them.
Like, he... Even just a little bit of hesitation when Ben goes, stand him up.
Stand
and he's
him
like,
up.
Huh? And he hesitates a little bit, and then Ben just kind of looks at him, and then he stands up. That would have been enough for
me. Yeah, like, he's even willing to make, like, sex jokes about her, about Julie. He was like, come on, Ray. I would have shared her with you. Like, shit like that.
Right. Like, you pissed me off. How could you throw away that friendship you had?
Yeah, like, I'm surprised, like, Julie could have easily pulled some shit, like, we last year? What about the last year?
What about science class?
What about AP Chem? You know, like...
Yeah, like, after all that, you can seriously just flip the switch and just be completely, okay, I'm a killer now?
Yeah, I mean, if he was a psychopath, I guess they wouldn't feel emotion, but still, I mean, I just... It is just weird. It's just a weird thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. That always just kind of, like, it doesn't bother me. I've seen the movie so many times, and it's just, like, there, but it's just, like, come on. Come on, Will.
Yeah, right.
What an asshole. Poor Ben. Also, the backstory in that they're trying to establish, like, it sounds like Will was, like... The only word I can think of right now is created, and that sounds inappropriate. I'm trying to... What sexual innuendos here.
Molded?
Oh my god, dude. Ben fucked Will's mom at the goddamn Bahamas. That's what I think happened. It sounded like Will was...
He was, oh my god, we're gonna think of this word before this shit's over.
He was, He was made there. He was the words in the tip of my tongue.
Oh my god, it's on the tip of my tongue. What the fuck?
He was something.
Concepted.
Not consumed. He was not consumed, and that's why he was born. He should have been swallowed, boy. What's the word? Conceptualized.
Yes?
No, it's not. It's, fuck me. I'll try to continue the conversation while you Google some shit. But yeah, they make, like, a backstory. They're like, that, the honeymoon rooms, it sounded like, I have to, like, really dig deeper.
Conceived?
Conceived.
Conception would have.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Conception.
Conceived, yeah. He was conceived. Make it sound like he was conceived there.
Right, yeah.
Well, apparently Ben used to work there. Which mm-hmm. is why the fucking voodoo guy.
The old guy.
Yeah. The guy that looks like a meth version of Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, apparently, like, they worked together.
Yeah.
And that's why he knew Will. That's why he was willing to smack Will in the face with the paddle when they were down at the waters.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of weird backstory
there. Yeah.
I know who you are, boy. Yeah.
Yes.
But you never forget about Jack Black.
If you haven't seen I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, and you've seen and enjoyed I Know What You Did Last Summer, watch it.
Yeah, like, go in open-minded. It's not as good, all right? But it's so 90s.
Right.
I fucking love it. You got Jennifer Love Hewitt's song in there, which just makes me fucking happy every time I hear it. Freddie Prinze Jr. is, like, the ultimate 90s figure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so fucking
Jack
perfect.
Black.
Dude, Jack Black, which he goes uncredited, by the way,
mm-hmm.
which is just says a lot about the role. If Jack Black is so embarrassed that he goes uncredited, that says a lot about the role. It's hilarious, though. It really is. It's all good.
It's all good.
They seriously don't do that. Oh, my fucking God.
Oh, man.
I want to watch it right now. I want to watch the movie right now. I love it so much. Gosh. Well, okay, that was 5 unanswered questions in horror movies. Let us know if you enjoyed this, and if you'd like to see us do more content like this in the future. Give us some suggestions as well. I'll happily discuss anything, preferably, of course, in the horror genres. That's our niche. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else to say. This was a fun time. If you enjoyed, make sure you drop a like, subscribe, turn notifications on so you don't miss a video or a stream in the future. As well, don't forget, this is on iTunes or Podbean. Feel free to go drop a follow over there and subscribe on iTunes. That way, you know, you don't miss them. You know, you get notified there, too, and you can watch them on the go. You can listen to your car. Bluetooth car feedback. Your drive to work, which is covered by us.
You're welcome.
okay, that's all I got. Nick, you got something you want to say? These are laid back over here. We can say whatever we want.
I mean, I'm all right. I got nothing.
You don't want to say get your pets spayed or neutered or anything like that? You want a new line for here?
Well, I mean, that's kind of for the streams.
What's a good byline that would work for here?
I don't know.
We should have scripted this.
Yeah.
Ah, jeez.
All right. Get your pets spayed or neutered.
Okay. With that, as always, thank you guys for watching, and we'll see you next time.